We're live and we're local. This is a Juno afternoon on Thursday, June 21st, 2018. Happy solstice. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll hear about Sunday's performance by the Juno Cabaret. We'll also learn how to prepare incoming kindergartners for a successful school year. We'll get pumped up for this weekend's Solstice 5K and find out how you can weigh in on electric vehicle parking and charging. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note, music, and more coming up right here on a Juno afternoon. Looking at weather, mostly cloudy today with isolated showers and highs around 70. Tonight, scattered rain showers, lows in the mid-50s. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. The head of an organization that works for international recognition of indigenous people says the Trump administration's withdrawal from the UN Human Rights Council is devastating, but not unexpected. Andrea Carman is the executive director of the International Indian Treaty Council. She says the Trump administration has often been at odds with the council's efforts to call attention to various human rights issues.
It is disappointing, you know, when the state like the United States, the countries refuse to participate in systems that they themselves set up to hold each other accountable and also to give a voice to those that are experiencing human rights violations around the world, including indigenous peoples.
The IITC has previously given testimony to the council on issues like the treatment of indigenous protesters at Dakota Access Pipeline protests, the process for deciding the details of the Keystone Oil Pipeline project, and the Trump administration's immigration policies, among others. In Minnesota, the debate over an oil pipeline is heating up. Minnesota Public Radio's Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
Regulators in Minnesota are weighing whether to approve a new oil pipeline that would replace an aging line owned by Enbridge Energy. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Pipeline Safety Agency this week recommended the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approve the new Line 3 along the route Enbridge proposes, saying it's the safest option. But some project opponents, including the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, questioned the written recommendation. Fond du Lac attorney Sarah Van Norman.
I would like some clarification about how such a late document arrived into the record. I'm just not seeing any explanation for that. And it sounds now as if the commission would like to discuss it and rely upon it for some purpose here.
Commissioners say they will address the letter next week as they move toward a decision on the pipeline by next Friday. For National Native News, I'm Elizabeth Dunbar in St. Paul.
In Michigan, the Bureau of Indian Affairs held the first of a series of consultations this week with tribes on a reorganization plan ordered by President Donald Trump. More than 50 people attended, including representatives from 12 tribes across Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. That's according to Aaron Payment. He's the chairman of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Payment is also first vice president of the National Congress of American Indians. Tribes have been frustrated with the lack of information on the process, and Payment says this meeting didn't offer much more detail beyond a map that has been changed at the behest of states.
So how is it that, as our trustee, that Interior and the BIA are out taking input from states and redrawing lines based on state input long before tribes have ever had anything to say about it? We don't appreciate having to get in line behind the state.
Payment says there was no support for the plan from tribal officials at this meeting. He volunteered to help create an advisory group from Indian Country to help in the reorganization plan to better meet the needs of tribes. But he says there didn't seem to be much interest from BIA officials.
They've pretty much predetermined the outcome. They're basically going through the rigmarole of having consultation to have tribes express ourselves. So far, it's been universally opposed.
Payment is concerned the reorganization plan would break up coalitions of tribes that have come together to advocate for their needs. He's also worried about the proposal to have one regional director with authority over all of Interior's bureaus. That would rotate every 2 years, which means someone with little knowledge of treaties or trust responsibilities could oversee issues in Indian Country. The next session takes place Thursday in Billings, Montana. The last one is slated for August in Mississippi. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Quantic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by AARP. What we do might surprise you, like hosting the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency meeting in Bay Mills Resort and Casino in Brimley, Michigan on July 12th. Information at aarp.org/veterans.
And by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at sanofsky.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My first guests today are Heather Mitchell and Tom Loker, here to talk about Juno Cabaret. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having us on the air again.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. You're here to talk about this weekend's performance, but before we get into that, what is Juno Cabaret? Can you give us some background information?
We got our start in August 2009, about 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small gathering of local singers and accompanists, and we perform, I would say, 3 or 4 times a year regularly, an open call show. Anyone 15 and over who can line up an accompanist can come and be in Juno Cabaret, and the cabaret art form is about the singer connecting with the audience with a simple accompaniment, usually just piano, or in our case, we have piano and keyboard, bass, and drums available at these shows. David Shakely will be joining us on drums this Sunday. We're so excited to have him back again.
Oh, that sounds like a treat. Mm-hmm. Are there auditions, or can you just sign up if you want to sing?
No, the way we run these particular shows, they're open call shows, and it's really a first come, first serve. You just come to our website and put yourself on the list. The only requirements we've got are if you were in one show, the next show you would be on the wait list. So that way we can cycle in new performers and we give everyone an opportunity. And we very often do fill up all our slots. We'll get anywhere from 10 to 12 performers for a show. And we'll usually have between 2 and 5 on the wait list. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for people who haven't sung before, haven't sung in a really long time, or you know, one of those things where they just want to have a very low risk, low stress entry back into singing, or entry into singing is you just sing those 2 songs. So that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the way we could not have anticipated, Juno Cabaret has grown to become this crossroads of singers from all over the community who want to sing outside their comfort zone. We get folk singers and bar band singers and lyric opera singers and symphony chorus people and shower singers and people who only sing in the car. And then they get brave enough to sing in front of an audience. And they, as Heather said, it's fairly low risk. 2 songs. We prefer that one or more be from the Great American Songbook, because that's the mission of our project, is Great American Songbook preservation through performance. So.
And how are each of you involved in Juno Cabaret? Are you performers or organizers or both?
Both. Tom is our music director and is the primary accompanist for many of our singers. He and I work together to put together the shows and the administration. You know, we do all the administrative aspects on the back end. I help with some of the publicity and the promotions. But he's playing the keys and I sing. So very often some of these shows, I'll be doing a 2-song set. And for the ones I don't, I emcee the show.
I don't see you on the list of vocalists that will be performing this time.
Yeah, I'm not on the list this time. So I'll just be keeping everybody going.
If we have someone drop out at the last, Heather will step in.
Luckily, Tom and I work together enough that there's several songs we could pull out of the bag if we needed to.
Yeah.
Well, who are some of the vocalists that will be performing this weekend?
We're so pleased to have 4 newcomers in this show, people who have never been on the stage of Juno Cabaret before. Some are returning singers. Some are trying it for the very first time. So they are Jackie Schultz and Kristen Price, and she'll be accompanied by a new accompanist, a woman named Elizabeth Bryson. And she has sung with us before, but this will be her first time accompanying another singer. We're very excited to have her with us. Eric Caldwell, who is an improv actor. He's going to try his hand at cabaret singing, and he's very good. I've been rehearsing him.
Yeah, and as an improver and the sort of the primary producer for the Alaska State Improv Festival, anything could go when he gets up there. So it should be really, really fun.
Our other newcomer is Miriam Wagner, and we're very pleased to have her join us. She's also she's a very artistic person and also a local poet, and she recently won an award for her poetry. So she'll be singing a couple of songs. She's a returning singer. She hasn't sung in front of people in a long, long time, and she's very excited to be doing that at Juno Cabaret for the first time this Sunday, 7 o'clock, the 24th, at Rockwell Ballroom.
Who do you think is more nervous to perform? Someone who's doing it for the first time, or are some of the people who have done it before, do they still get stage fright?
Yes.
Give us some insider information. Who's the most scared?
Absolutely. I think that if you were to get up there and not be scared at all, you're going to have a flat night. We all get amped up before we get on stage, and that never goes away.
Though you did say it's a pretty low-risk environment. It's a relaxed setting, and
very supportive.
There's no audition. So
It's a super supportive room. I mean, all of the people that are there to listen to this music are, they're lovers of community. They're lovers of cabaret art form. They're lovers of the music that we're singing, which span decades of experience for all of us. And they just really, really celebrate all the accomplishments of every singer. And for many of them, the big accomplishment is getting up on the stage. And it's just a loving room.
Can you give us any hints about what songs we'll hear?
Oh, yeah. all kinds of hints. Well, Allison Holtkamp is going to be one of our singers. And she's a very talented actress and singer. Mm-hmm. But I just talked to her this morning about substituting for someone who can't do it. So we're going down her list. But she knows a lot of songs from the American Songbook, also from musical theater. And I think we may get one of each of those. As far as titles to hint at, Eric Caldwell is going to do a seasonal piece called Under a Blanket of Blue, which is about summer. And he's chosen a bossa nova treatment for this song. And it's going to be a lot of fun for the audience.
Cool.
Yeah. Jackie Schultz is going to sing one of Heather's favorites and mine too. It's called The Best Is Yet to Come by Carolyn Lee and Cy Coleman. It's from the 1950s. And she's doing a great swing treatment of that. David Shakely also very much likes that song, and he'll be joining us on drums. David Shakely early. I should correct myself there.
Yeah, she forgot the early. Don't forget the early.
The other accompanist featured will be Jackie Farnsworth, who's everywhere in Juneau. She works with kids and adults both. Luke Weld. He's a great, great versatile accompanist, originally from up north, and he's been in Juneau about 5 years now, I think. And he's very versatile. He'll be playing keyboard, bass, and piano. So will I. And then we're really excited, as I said, to have Elizabeth Bryson join us. She's a college age, I would say about 21, something like that.
I've worked with her on a couple of singing groups lately, and she's just a pleasure to work with. She's and very talented and lots of fun.
Speaking of younger people in the company, though, this Sunday I'm really privileged to be accompanying Robert Newman, who's a student in Boston. He's a vocal performance student. He's from Juneau, and he's back for the summer, working in the visitor industry, but he's going to make some time on Sunday night to come and sing at Juneau Cabaret a couple of songs, including a great standard from the Rodgers and Hart songbook called Blue Moon.
Ah, so you didn't tell me the other day what he was doing.
Yeah.
You just said it was Rodgers.
And then the other young singer that's going to be featured is Lydia Rail, who's about 20, I think. And Lydia is a dynamo. She has incredible power and control and has a lot of great energy that she brings to the stage and breathes new life into these old standards. So we're really looking forward to hearing her treatment of some of these great American songbook tunes.
So. Yeah, she's a petite powerhouse. We call her our little jazz bird.
Yeah.
Well, you both seem pretty enthusiastic about the show on Sunday and cabaret in general. What do you guys love about doing this? What makes you keep coming back?
Oh.
Well, for me, I would say, for a developing singer or a veteran singer, it's so much fun to see them get up on stage and grow as an artist. Sometimes between the beginning and the end of the night, sometimes it's between the beginning and the end of the song they're singing. They grow a lot as an artist. They relax. They breathe more easily, and they get very natural with this conversational way of singing Juneau Cabaret. They get in cabaret, you make a strong connection with the audience, looking right at them. And it's quiet enough to hear all the lyrics sung. It's more of a listening environment, this particular show.
How about you, Heather?
I think for me, I like, you know, I'm able to bridge the gap of several generations in terms of music, but the music is never the same, and it's not a static thing. It's not something that's sort of, you know, a standard doesn't always get sung the same way. And in fact, there's a certain freeing aspect. It's the fact that so many of these songs have been sung so many times. There is no claim to how that song needs to be sung. So like he said, you can take a Latin treatment, you know, make something into a bossa nova and it completely changes the song, and you get to put all your own personality on it. For me, I tend to go sort of a blues, R&B, 50s, 60s aesthetic. It's kind of a rhythm and blues, would you say, Tom?
Yeah, I think, Heather, you use a lot of stylistic elements from that time, and it's fun to hear you take liberties with some of these songs. The other thing Heather does that's really cool is in rehearsal, we'll make just a tiny change to a tempo and bring the song to a new interpretation comes out altogether because it's a little bit slower or a little bit faster than the last time we performed it. And as she said, never the same song twice.
Pretty much, yeah.
We have some other great singers in the show. Don't want to discount anybody. They're all great. April McVeigh is going to be singing. Also Tom Melville, Jack Brandt, John Haywood, who's been a mainstay of Juno Cabaret since its inception, and Salisa Thole. And she's a powerhouse also.
And you mentioned that the most, before we start talking, the most recent lineup will be found on your Facebook page.
Correct.
If there's any last minute changes or if people didn't get all that when they were listening to the interview.
Yeah, if you didn't get all the names.
So this weekend's performance will be Sunday. That's June 24th in the Rockwell Ballroom. It starts at 7 p.m. It's an all ages show. And it's also pay as you can, which is very generous.
Admission is always pay as you can. No ticket to buy. Just come on in.
So no excuse not to show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what good is sitting alone in your room, as long as it's in? Is there anything else you'd like to add about the show on Sunday or anything else going on with Cabaret?
Well, two things on that. I think, first off, it's probably important for everybody to know who have come to our shows before. Open call shows at the Rockwell Ballroom in the past have involved. You were able to purchase food or drinks for purchase, you know, and there have been some changes at the Rockwell Ballroom in terms of what services they're offering. So for this show, they will open the bar upstairs and they will have drinks for purchase, but there will not be food for purchase. So I just want to make sure that all of our regulars know that they will not be able to purchase food, but they can still get a drink while they're listening to the show. And we always have lots of projects, some of them more theoretical than others, but I do know that we are looking at rebooting our Great American Songbook series at the APK, which we have done now for 2 years. And Tom, I'm sure, would love to share a little bit on that.
Launching the third season together with Heather Mitchell and Laura Haywood, who's been great biographer, narrator, storyteller for the Great American Songbook series. Heather also was our narrator at the Cole Porter Show. And
Tom Melville is our house manager who helps us out.
And we look forward to bringing that series back to the APK Lecture Hall. It's typically given on Saturday afternoons in the off season at 2 p.m. It's sort of a matinee. Also, pay as you can. And we're looking forward. We've given 9 of those concerts to date, and we look forward to another season. They've been very well attended, and some of our very best singers appear in those.
Mm. And that's like taking the whole idea of preservation through performance and a Great American Songbook to kind of that next level where we provide a little bit of commentary to support the music.
Yeah, Laura always gives a great, great explanation, Heather too, about the composer's contribution, their work, their life, and how those Great American Songbook songs that they penned continue to live on and why.
Heather Mitchell and Tom Loker talking about Juno Cabaret. The show is this Sunday, June 24th, 7 p.m. in the Rockwell Ballroom. All music lovers should come. Everybody should come.
Pay as you can. Yeah, all ages welcome.
Thank you both very much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum.
come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band. Come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile away? Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the to have this girlfriend known as Elsie, with whom I shared four sordid rooms in Chelsea. She wasn't what you'd call a blushing flower. As a matter of fact, she rented by the hour. The day she died, the neighbors came to snicker. Well, that's what comes from too much pills and liquor. But when I saw her laid out like a queen, she was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen. I think of Elsie to this very day. I remember how she turned to me and said, what good is sitting all alone in your room? Come, hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. And as for me, I made my mind up back in Chelsea when I go. I'm going like Elsie. Start by admitting from cradle to tomb, it isn't that long a stay. Life is a cabaret, old chum. It's only a cabaret, old chum. And I love a cabaret.
Come join the Juno Arts and Humanities Council for the second Summer Block Party of 2018, this Friday, June 22nd from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Centennial Hall Courtyard, or the Jack Main Hall if the weather is inclement. Featuring performances from the Juno Fine Arts Camp and a host of exciting local Juno merchants. There will be a beer garden, lawn games, and a whole lot more fun. Celebrate the summer and support the new Jack, sponsored by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
The House could vote on two immigration bills, but neither one appears likely to pass. Republicans are split and Democrats are angry over family separation.
We will not be cowed by taking little children hostage and then being demanded to vote for things that we think are harmful to the American people.
I'm Audie Cornish. What's next for immigration legislation this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Listen every afternoon on KTOO Juno 104.3.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Dr. Bridget Weiss from the Juno School District. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're the Director of Student Services at JSD. What does that job entail?
Well, my job entails quite a support, really, for students in many programs. One is our special education program. I also support counselors and our health team and activities, so it's pretty broad spread. And today I'm here to talk about one other area that I support, which is our efforts in the area of preschool.
Right. You're here to talk about the Kinder Ready program offered by the school district. What's the importance of pre-K preparations?
Preschool is super important. What we know is that based on assessments that we do each year, about one quarter of our students enter kindergarten ready for kindergarten.
Oh, that's not many.
It's not enough, for sure. So we're looking at ways to augment our programming to support kids and ensure that that number goes up and have students come to kindergarten ready and raring to learn, because research is super clear about what it means for kids, for all kids, those that are ready and those that are not, when a classroom is filled with students that are ready to learn.
Can you describe the Kinder Ready program offered by the school district?
You bet. This is a program that we piloted this past school year and will be expanding this coming school year. It is for four-year-olds and some three-year-olds. It operates 2.5 hours each day. We have two sessions. We did have some students who did both sessions, so that turned into a full day for them. It was housed at Harborview. This year, we're expanding to include Valley locations, depending on our number of participants that we have. It's very low cost in comparison to other child programs in the community. It's $200 for each session, and the program operates 4 days a week, has lots of really great activities to prepare students, very play-based, arts integration, language components. And so we definitely have room in the fall and are looking for some families that may want their children to participate.
Great. And so some of the objectives of the program, is it's to get kids ready and kind of accustomed to coming into school every day for those who have never been there before, and also the classroom setting, things like that?
Absolutely. Adjustment to the classroom setting, the school environment, the kids take advantage of the playground. It works in many ways. We're looking at social and emotional development, peer development, mm-hmm. and getting along with others, as well as some of those academic goals that we want for students as they enter kindergarten.
Do they typically have a good time? How does the first day of Kinder Ready go usually?
Well, sometimes it's a little chaotic as kids get settled in, but it is a lot of fun. It is a very joyous learning environment, which is one of our goals in that classroom, is that kids have a lot of fun. It is definitely base a lot of outdoor time. That was one of the, when we did our parent survey, that was one of parent requests, that kids spend time outdoors. So we really acknowledged that and built that into our program as well.
And then from there, how does the first day of school go for the kiddos who have had these pre-K preparations in comparison to those who haven't?
We are very interested in, as we move forward in the next couple of years, being able to really track data and see the results. We're very early in our implementation. So our first group of Kinder Ready students are entering kindergarten this coming fall. So we'll be able to look at specific kids and see those impacts. We have other preschool programs in the district as well. Montessori has a program called Children's House, as well as our special education program has room in our special ed preschool for typically developing peers. It's another great program. And all of those together, we hope, are going to increase the number of kids that are really ready.
And from your personal observations, do you see a difference between kids who have had pre-K and those who haven't?
Absolutely. Structure is super important. There are lots of things families can do over the summer to help prepare their students. And some of those are those structural pieces. Conversation, language is very, very important, language development. So asking your kids questions, counting things while you're riding along in the car, put the electronics away and really engage. Read, obviously. Read a book and then ask inquisitive questions about the story, those types of things.
And do you feel most families in Juneau have access to this program, or are some of our more vulnerable populations missing out?
Well, the really cool thing about our program is that we are supported through multiple funding sources. Our state legislature allocates pre-elementary learning funds, and that comes through our Department of Education, and so we have received grant money to help us run this program. Our city and borough assembly has been generous with some allocation to put towards pre-K this past year. So those pieces allow us to do this in an affordable way and make it accessible to families. That's one of our main priorities. So while I mentioned earlier there was a cost for Kinder Ready of $200 a month, if a family wants their child to participate and can't afford that, we work with them and we waive part of that or all of that, depending on the situation.
So you've got families who might want to participate and need a little financial help. But what about outreaching families or parents who haven't heard of this before or don't even know about it, besides coming on a Juno
exactly.
afternoon?
We are really trying to get the word out for sure and in lots of different forms because it really is a critical piece to preparing students to learn. And what we know is that when students can read by second grade, the rest of their educational journey is incredibly different than if they are still having challenges reading. And so the earlier we start, the better it is for everyone and for our system. It's much less costly to educate our kids, the better prepared we are and the earlier we start and get them in rhythm. So we definitely are trying to get this word out and adding components as we need them. So that's the example of our Kinder Ready readiness program this summer, where we're taking 3 weeks and we've pushed it closer to the start of the school year so that it will help students walk into kindergarten that first day and really be ready. So we're excited about that new component.
All right. I'm speaking with Dr. Bridget Weiss from the Juneau School District, and we're talking about the Kinder Ready preschool program. Could you go over the details of the sessions one more time?
You bet. So for our summer sessions, I want to touch that really quickly. Our kindergarten readiness summer program is going to start July 23rd and go for 3 weeks, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. We want students who are going to enter kindergarten in the fall to come spend some time with us. We're going to have teachers that are there that are teaching during the school year. They're going to be there to work with kids and some para educators. And the time is 10 to 2. So it's a nice chunk of time each day, Monday through Thursday, where we'll be working on preparing students for that first day. Just as you said, what does that first day look like? We want students to really be engaged right from the get-go. And so this summer program is going to help us do that. And we're going to have one location in town. And depending on number of kids participating, we may add and also have a location in the valley.
Fantastic. And applications are found online at junoschools.org?
Yes, they are. And if there's any questions that someone has, they could call 780-2071 and we will get them the information they need.
All right. That all sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about while you're here?
I would just encourage families that have 4- and 5-year-olds that are entering school this fall to remember how valuable their time is during the summer. And there are so many simple things that families can engage with kids, keep them active outside, counting, reading, having conversation, coloring, lots of craft activities with their fingers and scissors and pencils and crayons. Those are all super important. 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a huge difference.
Dr. Weiss, thanks so much for being here today and giving us all this great information.
Thank you very much.
Summertime in Virginia was an oven. All the kids eating ice cream with their cousins. I was studying while you was playing the dozens. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. Running from the man. Running from the badge. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. Running toward our plans. In the judge's hands. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. I know they say it's all for you. I'm on my
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and to prescribe solutions. Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, Alaskan icon painter Deacon Charles Rohrbacher traces the influence of religious painting on secular art in the 19th and 20th centuries at the APK. At 9, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the guest on Well Read. Conversations in the Digital Age: Has Hacking Become a National Security Issue? Is next at 9:30. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and my next guests are KTOO's own Sarah Schaefer and Tana Peters, here to talk about
Run for Public Radio.
All right, we're in the final stretch. It's coming up on Saturday, 11 p.m. What do you guys want to say about it?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a fantastic event.
I'm excited, for sure.
Right? I mean, Look outside. The weather is beautiful. It's going to stay like this.
That's right.
And even if it doesn't, it's going to be such a fun event. We've got even heating lamps. We've got beer flowing. We've got bubbly.
We just bought it.
Supply's been piling up around here.
Solstice, was it last night?
No, it's today.
Oh, it
it's
is today. Today.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, you know what? Technically, I'm not sure if last night was solstice or if it's tonight, but yes.
I feel like people have been saying happy solstice, happy International Yoga Day today. So
okay. My calendar, it says summer solstice today. So.
And I was sitting on my couch last night and I thought, like, oh, it's a beautiful, long night with that beautiful light, and I thought, well, in 3 days we're gonna run along the whale and there's gonna be this twilight, and you know, it's all for a good cause. We're coming up at the end of our fiscal year at KTO. We still have some money left to raise. We're gonna have a little drive we're gonna be on the air live tomorrow, and this is just another way how we can make this little gap that we still have for fundraising.
It's like the icing on the cake of fundraising.
Right.
It's like the fun part of the fundraising.
Right. So have a lot of people registered to run?
Yeah, we've got a lot of registrants. We're super excited. People are definitely getting in, but we do still have room for more.
Of course, not
only do we have room for more, we still have the sweet early bird ticket rates, which also get you the free hat.
It's not so early anymore, Tana.
I know it's not, but we are just still calling it early birds because this town is full of maybe not so early birds.
Late birds.
Yeah, late birds.
Yeah, and if you want to save a couple bucks, you just register now.
Yeah, fantastic. You can actually register. We just decided this for you folks. If you can register all the way on Saturday even and get the better price. So if you register up to, like, I think we decided noon on Saturday, you can get the great early bird price. And if you register the night of the event, you're welcome to do that as well. Come to the event and register there. We're happy to have you there. It'll be a couple of dollars more. So I'm just saying, if you are kind of a frugal person who also loves running and fun and also loves hats and beer and all the fun things that this and public radio, of course.
Of course. Are the hats here yet?
I don't think I've seen them. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The hats are here.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's take us through the experience kind of one step at a time. I'm a runner. It's, you know, 10:30 on Saturday night. What's my first stop? Let's say I registered already. What's my first stop?
First, you're going to do some stretching because you're a runner. That's right. That's important.
Sure I am.
You're going to show up at around 9 p.m.
Where do I show up?
To the Juno Arts and Culture Center,
Jack,
right next to KTOO. So fun. We wave at them out the window every morning. And then you'll be ushered into one of two registration lines. If you've already registered, you'll get to go sort of a speed path. If you are registering that night, you got to take a few minutes and get your registration information.
But either way, you have to check in at the Jack.
That's right. You check in at that front door.
Get your swag.
Get your swag. Get your bib. Get your entrance card or a little tearaway that gets you entered into all the prizes that are getting given away during the night. And then you'll scoot on into the hall, the main hall area, And there you'll, you know, you'd start getting ready. I'm sure you'll already have your costume prepped. I guess we sort of skipped that part of the night.
But the costumes will be judged before the run.
That's right. And then you will maybe hang out and, you know, take a selfie at the little photo booth. And then the costume contest will start. If you are a person who is interested in being a part of the costume contest, an entry in, if you want to compete in the costume contest, I mean to say, you will just write your name on a paper and you will write what your little costume theme is.
What time is that,
and
the costume
then contest? The costume contest will start at 10 p.m.
Oh, okay. So we need to be there.
Yep. So you really want to get in there. Yeah, get in there, get
that.
Registered and scoot on in and then fill out your card so in advance of 10 p.m. so you can get into the costume contest. Then the contest will start at 10 p.m. There'll be a little runway show and some fun judging and some cool stuff. And then we'll have we plan on having the awards for the family and the youth awards for the costume contest happen right then. But we're going to hold back a little bit because we're going to have an amazing midnight award ceremony for all the adult costumes.
Grand prize.
Yeah, and we have some really, really cool prizes for everybody that a lot of community organizations have donated. So we're really excited about that. So that's going to be like 10:45 when we need you all to walk safely across Egan Drive at the light and gather in the parking lot in front of the Coast Guard building there. So that's just right across the way from the Jack. And that parking lot is actually going to be the start of the race. So we've got this great new course. And on the new course, we are starting across from the Jack. And it's really relieving a headache from JPD and a lot of things if we safely cross at that light. I'll gather up right there in front of the Coast Guard building in that lovely parking lot.
And then we run to the whale.
And then we run to the whale, the one mile.
Towards the whale, I
yeah,
should say.
Yep. You run along the Seawalk. The one milers get to loop around the whale and come back.
Cool.
And end in the parking lot there and safely make their way back. And then the 5Kers will run down and under the bridge, up and over the JDHS-UAS overpass, around and by the breakwater, down to Norway Point, and then all the way back along that same sort of route that it used to go onto Willoughby and then back looping around Centennial Hall and then back into the back parking lot of the Jack where there will be already going a fabulous cheer garden.
Woo-hoo. Awesome.
And
cheer and wine.
Yeah, that's right. And if you are an adult registrant and you get your little wristband when you register and you show your identification, it will actually have one of your free drink ticket on it. And so you can actually practically run
into the cheer garden
straight on it
from the finish line into the cheer garden and then the midnight ceremony for the awards
and
door
right.
prizes as
yeah.
well mm-hmm. at that time. Well, it just sounds like it's going to be a fantastic night.
Yay!
Yeah. So I think we've successfully informed the public all about the race. You guys have been on the show a bunch of times. Is there anything that we've missed, anything that you guys forgot to mention, any of the last times you were here, or something that's come up last minute you want everybody to know?
Well, we did curate the KXLL Rock and Run playlist.
Yeah, that's been pretty noisy in the office.
What?
So
we had a little help from our friends. Thanks to everybody who
contributed,
Facebook and whatnot.
So yeah, that's going to happen too. And yes, just we want to encourage everyone to come out, celebrate solstice. This is a staple event for Juno. It's been going on for, this is going to be the 34th rendition of this event. So everyone that knows Juno, chances are you've run this before. So come out, run for public radio, help us make this a huge success for public radio and celebrate solstice with us.
Great. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Nicely
I hope you
said,
got this
Sarah.
One on the playlist. Tom Petty, Running Down a Dream.
Oh. We'll be right back.
as possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and my final guests today are Duff Mitchell and Steve Behnke from the Juno Commission on Sustainability. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sustainability is a nice thing to think about today on this summer solstice. Would you guys please tell the good people about this commission and maybe your role on it?
Sure. The Juno Commission on Sustainability grew out of the energy committee many years ago and was kind of evolved into the sustainability committee. And we advise, our role is to advise the city and borough of Juneau on all facets of sustainability in our community. Our foundational documents are the Juneau Climate Action Plan, and we have a lot of resolutions that talk about sustainability. So those are in our area of where we advise, as well as the recent Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy.
And you, Steve, what's your role in the commission?
I'm the chair of the Energy Committee, which is one of the subcommittees of the Commission on Sustainability.
And how does the commission define or conceptualize sustainability? You know it when you see it?
A little bit of that, but there are a lot of policies that the CBJ has adopted over the years that focus on particular aspects of defining that. And so there's kind of the big picture of sustainability, which is just how we do stuff in a way that maintains the qualities we care about for future generations, so environmental, social, economic.
Right. And a very much a local focus. So sustainability is an energy. It's how you use and keep it perpetual as opposed to importing solid waste. How do we take care of that here as opposed to exporting it out? So it's got a lot of local aspects to it.
And you're here today because the commission had a meeting earlier this week on the topic of electric vehicles and charging, and now you'd like to get some feedback from the public. So first of all, my first question about that is, how popular are electric vehicles in Juneau? I see them around. We have a charging station right here at KTOO. Is it a fad or a real movement?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's absolutely where it's going to be. Bloomberg has come out that by 2030, 24% of all the vehicles in America are going to be electric, and by 2040, it'll be 54%. The problem with all these predictions is they've been wrong because we've got there faster.
Yeah, I was going to say it probably won't take that long.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Juneau has about 300 vehicles.
Yeah, and I was going to say that about 5 years ago, our group helped put together an electric vehicle float for the 4th of July parade, and six years ago, it would be a couple of cars. And basically nowadays we don't bother because there's just too many of them around to include. So we've really seen dramatic increase in the number of electric vehicles in town.
Yeah, the current trend is about 1 to 2, sometimes 3 a week growth in Juneau. The local Chevrolet dealer got his received their allocation of Chevy Bolts as BOLT and was sold out. So there's a waiting list even for the local dealer that is now bringing in Chevrolet Bolts.
So could you talk a bit about what was discussed in the sustainability session earlier this week?
Yeah, the meeting that we held earlier this week was about the question of what should the CBJ be doing about support for chargers, electric vehicles and chargers. And it was spurred by a proposal to charge a fee that the CBJ was proposing to charge a fee for use of public chargers on CBJ properties, a $50 per year fee for use of those chargers. And the Commission on Sustainability looked at that proposal and said that we would really recommend stepping back a little bit and looking at what we're trying to accomplish in the community with electric vehicles and chargers before adopting the fee. And so we recommended to the Assembly that they step back, and they told us go ahead and hold some meetings, take a look at what that longer-term future that we were aiming for with electric vehicles should be, and then that we would come back with a recommendation on that specific proposal.
Now, there are four scenarios leading to a recommendation to the Assembly. Would you guys outline those for us?
Sure. One scenario is do nothing. There's out of the 14 chargers in Juneau, only 6 of them are CBJ. So it's do nothing. We don't have enough vehicles. Maybe we should just punt and look at this into the future because it's not that big of a deal. And there are some people with opinions along that line. And then do something is kind of like take the ordinance that's currently and just add on what Steve said. It's not only charging, but it's also parking related. So it mixes parking issues with charging issues. Mm-hmm. And then a do more option is craft a modified ordinance that would take from the current ordinance and maybe take the public comments and add or subtract to it. And then do a lot scenario, which is craft a modified ordinance and then also a plan with the future based on where we think growth is going. Part of the presentation that we shared is going to show that we're going to have a meteoric rise of electric vehicles. It's a tsunami coming. In 2023, all the automobile manufacturers are going to be producing 20 to 30 models each. Mm. Battery prices have now dropped to about $100 a kilowatt, which is kilowatt hour, which is the nirvana of battery electric. So the prices are dropping. There's more and more adoption going on. And the AAA survey just came out, AAA, the American Automobile Association. 20% of Americans say that they would their next vehicle purchase would be electric. So it's more than a fad. It's happening.
So what's next?
We held this meeting, took public comment. We're going out for more comments from people, and there's information on the Commission's website, which is juneau.org/sustainability. You can go there for background information on the proposal, and also there's a short survey if people want to weigh in on how they're using EVs and what concerns they have about EV growth and chargers.
You said that's on the CBJ website?
Correct.
The
it's juneau.org, which is the CBJ's site, slash sustainability, which is our portion of it. And again, there's quite a bit. There's a number of the background documents and this survey and the information that Duff was talking about with this presentation that we did the other evening.
That's all available. That's fantastic.
Thank you for doing that.
I would just add, we're also going to have a video of the presentation. So the PowerPoint is on there now, and it gives you a lot of information of where electric vehicles have come, where they're going, and then rating it, how Juneau handles it. It also covers how other communities deal with the same issue. So we have a comparison contrast of how, you know, other communities in American universities handle the charging and the parking. And so it's very informative to look at the PowerPoint presentation. We'll have a video out there. And I would just say it's really easy to get to the website. If you take Juneau and then type in sustainability, you Google it, you're going to come to the site too.
And is there a deadline for participating in the public comment period?
Yes, it's July 18th. Okay. And we will have another meeting on July 17th, another public meeting. So we will give people kind of an update of where things are heading. And just so everyone understands the process, the Juneau Commission on Sustainability is going to make a recommendation to the Public Works Committee of where to take this, and then it goes from there. And we're trying to wrap that up sometime in August to give that to the Public Works Committee.
Fantastic. Well, Duff Mitchell and Steve Banky, thanks for coming on and talking about the meeting this week and the public comment period. I hope you'll come back before the next meeting so we can get everybody engaged and share all this information. And thank you so much for making all of this available online, free and accessible to the public. Anything you'd like to add before we go?
No, thanks very much for having us on.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, and we're back with one last guest, Nancy DeCherney from the Jack, here to tell us all about this weekend's happenings.
We'll make it speedy.
Okay, great.
Because then everybody wants to go outside and play because it's turned into a nice hot day.
Including myself.
Yes. Okay. So tonight there's a bonfire on the beach at 6 p.m. Go out there.
Whose bonfire is it? Eagle Beach.
Hangout, the Conservation Council.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. Friday, 5:30 p.m., come on over to the Jack. We have our summer block party. It's going to feature all the kids from this fine arts camp, all their stuff, but we'll have vendors and a beer garden and games and all that sort of stuff, and it's free. It's a good thing to do with your kids.
It's a lot of fun as well.
And then you can go from there on over to Alaska Fish and Chips and play cornhole and have concerts. And there's, I don't remember who's playing, but you can head on
live
over.
Live music tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a whole evening. Cool. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5, there's auditions for Here's Looking at You, Casablanca. These will be at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. The auditions are open by appointment, so you got to call Julie Copens, and you can get the information on our calendar, which is at jahc.org or at ktoo.org. And get involved in this JLO. It's the Lyric Opera's doing this.
Yeah, they were
Casablanca
on yesterday.
Thing,
so. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, we always wanted to be in that, right? Yeah. I wanted to be that gorgeous, but hey. And then at 7:30 on Saturday night at Rockwell, it is the Wushkinade Summer Showcase. It's always fun every summer. This is great.
And they'll be on the show tomorrow to talk more about that.
We'll say more later. It's a Starry Night theme, so be plan to go on over there. There's the only Fools Run at Midnight. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, they were just on as well.
Okay, well, you didn't need me at all. No wonder.
No.
And then on Sunday, we have our Artists of All Nations, which is when the Jack is open to just bring your artwork. Come on down and do crafts and artwork and beading and carving and everything else with other people. It's lots of fun. It's free, too. Great. And then from 7 to 9 p.m. on Sunday at the Rockwell is the Juno Cabaret featuring your local singers.
We're out of time.
Okay,
sorry, Nancy.
Okay,
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org. Till tomorrow, this has been a Juno Afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.